Well, you're not concerned about flying back to London, Frank, with CloudStrike and Microsoft totally sold to Renison.
I don't think that any of the flights have been on in the past.
Well, my sister did get home from Montana, and my niece is on her way to South Africa, so flights are, I mean, it's not Britain, but they are.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Airport travel is not the most pleasant way to get anywhere. Certainly wouldn't want a malfunctioning airplane. Control-Alt-Delete, is that the old fix?
I enjoy flying. Mark enjoys getting where he's going.
That's it.
And surprise, he goes, I don't want to go. I don't want to fly. Isn't that right, dear?
I want a Star Trek transporter. That's what I want. Two seconds, folks, and then I will be. Good to go. Get my CMI glasses on. And let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and life and health and strength, and even keeping the rain off of us this morning. And I pray your good hand upon us, just as we gather together, Lord, and sing some of these good old songs. Please take and use it, Father, as a time to work in each one of our hearts and minds. And Lord, whenever it's on the internet, that it would be a help to us. But most importantly, Lord, please recharge us and refresh us. I pray you, Lord, for forgiveness and straighten them out if they need it. For your will to be done. We know you want folks saved. And we know, Lord, that you want saved folks doing what they can. And I pray you, Father, for wisdom, guidance, and strength as we do all of these things. Please be with all of our sister churches, Lord, wherever they are. Wherever the full counsel of your word is preached, I pray you, Lord, please, that you bless the teachers and preachers and the hearers of it. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we leave all of these things at your feet. Our thanks and our petitions, especially our private ones, for Israel, for America, and for Britain, and for all the countries around the world and for the leaders of them, Lord, we pray that your hand would be felt upon them. We love you and praise you, and we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We are going to begin in the big books this morning. If you would like to take and turn to hymn number 66. Not very often that sometimes it can be a bit of a random pick for the hymns, but I've had two hymns on my mind all morning, and this is the first of them, number 66. This is at Calvary. So if you're able, we will remain seated as we sing number 66 at Calvary.
Knowing that it was for me, he died.
everybody's fallen to deliberate mistake. We obviously needed to sing verse 3 a couple of times. Amen. The love of God. We need to hear about it. Amen. We're swapping books. If you'd like to take and turn to the wee black book and turn to number 16. These are the two hymns that were on my mind this morning. He lifted me. Hymn number 16. And if you're fit, join me on your feet as we sing He Lifted Me. Number 16. Amen.
Consider the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul. For I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself, and he goeth abroad to Calvin. And all that hate me whispered together against me, do I devise my heart. And evil disease, say they, cleaveth beast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, with him I trusted, which had eaten my bread and lifted up his heel against him. But thou, Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, and I may requite him. By this I know that thou favourest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from our everlasting to the everlasting. Amen and amen.
Thank you for that. That's another one of those psalms that I actually have most of it underlined. The wee blue prayer list, I was going to say it's the shortest night, longest day, but that was June 21st. 21st to the 28th, that's fresh this week. Make sure that you have one if you are planning to pray for folks. The Lord doesn't mind if you pray for people with your eyes open, and unless you have a photographic memory, you probably need to do that. So please do make sure and take one of those. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to these? Anybody, anything they would like to add to our prayer list? I am glad to hear that. I know I have some names down here for private prayer requests. Can I just update that? Is anybody with their hand stuck up for a private prayer request? Please do. Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much indeed. Anybody, any thanks? Yes,
Linda. Did Link have one? No, I thought she raised her hand. I was going to say, it's good
glasses.
To see. Oh, sorry. It's good to see Frank. It's a blessing to have Frank
here. Oh, yes, of course. Glad Frank made it over safe, and he'll be glad whenever he gets back safe. Safe travels. Please don't forget to pray for Link and Frank and Dr. Shang. They will be travelling in just over a fortnight's time, isn't it? Just about that. What?
Just about that.
Are you not going?
No.
Are you being left home alone? And you're only 20... Soon to be 24. Sorry, I thought that you travelled earlier. Right. Sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult enough keeping track of my own arrangements sometimes. But we'll certainly be praying for your mum and dad as they travel on just over a fortnight's time. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. If you will, if you would, brother, would you lead us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, thank you for this gift here in your house today, Lord. Just a blessed Lord, may we do everything except in your sight, Lord, we praise our prayer, our supplication, our sermon, Lord. Bring our hearts receptive to do this, Lord. And help us to see a blessing in our lives, Lord, as well, Lord. With the tracts and the words spoken, people are lost, Lord, throughout the public profound yesterday, Lord. See, so mighty saved, Lord. Convict those of whenever they read the tracts, Lord. Convict people read the tracts, Lord. Convict them out of the party of hellfire if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord. See, so mighty party as well, Lord. With our land, Lord, see, so mighty party, Lord. And Lord, with the churches, that they may convict, Lord, the traitors and the pulpits trying to stand, Lord, and bring them to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is only salvation available, Lord. And thanks for Frank for being safely transported to us, Lord. Here's what we can bless, Lord. Keep safe and well, Lord. With a call where we're still from any trouble, Lord. And keep safe and well, Lord. And draw a closer walk with me. Also, see our Stephen Collin, John, Stephen and Stags, Lord, and with the mind and part, and see the mind and part this day, Lord. And with Stephen and Pat, Lord. Help Pat for a heart murmur, Lord. Heal as well, Lord. Bring back to us also Steve as well, Lord. Help heal his fistula, Lord. and he'll mightily impart forward and bury up and steal from any king or discomfort his life controller. Whoever wants to receive a new reward, gives a blessing word, and gives Marcus comes to the Lord, God's Lord, and heart to send us to the rest of the Lord, and draws us to support the plea, and this word for the honor and glory of God, for these Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. We are, our next hymn is going to be the Lily of the Valley. I think it's 244, or is that a different one? Oh, that's Amazing Grace. I'll get there in 2 seconds. The 240, not that far away after all. 240 in the big book. This is the Lily of the Valley, one of the first hymns that I came across whenever I first came to Bethel. It's a good, uplifting hymn. Let's make a joyful noise for 240. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of ten thousand to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow again, and then we're going to be changing books again to the Bible, but we're going to finish off this part of the service with number 13 in the wee books. A very old grand hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, and if you're able, please stand with me as we sing. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Amen.
But now I
be seated, thank you very much. We're in Ruth chapter 2, if you would like to take a turn there. Ruth chapter 2, it's early in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And the title for the message, if you need one, is Why Would He? Why Would He? You will see the reason for that title as we read chapter 2 in the book of Ruth. And I hope this is a little bit of a help to you. It's an unusual thing. Two books of the Bible with ladies' names, Ruth and Esther. They're not full of miracles and the striking of people dead and, well, Esther is a bit of that, but that's brought on by people's own stupidity, but there is a slightly more subtle, although very applicable, gospel message in it, and I would like to bring you a few thoughts on that this morning. Why would he, or why should he? Amen. We're in Ruth chapter 2. Let's read, and then we'll play a little bit more. The word of God says in Ruth chapter 2, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now Elimelech was Naomi's husband, and he had died some time earlier on. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, now Moabites and Jews, they were pretty much, the Jews were forbidden to have anything to do with the Moabites. But here we have Ruth, the Moabite daughter-in-law, with the Jewish mother-in-law. And Ruth said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with thee. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger? That's our verse for this morning. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat by the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field even until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said also unto me, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen. Let's pray, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank the Lord for this opportunity. Thank the Lord for preserving your word for us so that we can read it and not have to rely on what little bits we could remember of it. Please bless this time in your word, Lord, and we just love you and thank you. And help us, Lord, to see, maybe even understand a little bit more about why it is that you should love us so much. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. My nose is running a little bit. I know sometimes it is maybe not as interesting to the men folk in the church when we read about the, in quotes, romance stories that are found in the books of the Bible that are named after women. And in one respect, this is a wonderful romance in the best sense of the word, of a woman that came from nothing and was brought into the line of David the giant killer, and of course into the line of Jesus Christ himself, simply by following in the Lord's guidance. But there is an incredible gospel verse there. As we read the whole book of Ruth, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a synopsis here. Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons, I think it's Chilion or Chilion and Malon, they move. They move into the land of Moab. Pretty much a forbidden people as far as the Jews were concerned, because they came from the incestuous relationship that Lot had with his two daughters and were a thorn in the side of the children of Israel literally for the whole time they existed. But there's a famine in the land, and they go to Moab, and they find bread there. In other words, there's food, and they settle there. And they are there long enough for their two sons to be married. And of course, they marry Moabitish women. Women, of course, whom the Jews were expressly forbidden to have anything to do with. And these two wee girls' names are Ruth and Orpah. Now, there's no children mentioned, so obviously it was a short time after that the boys were married that all of the men died. The father, Elimelech, Mahlon or Mahlon, and Chileon. There's no cause mentioned, but they're all gone. Some people might say it is because they broke God's law in going to the land of those that hate God and allowing their sons to marry women that they were expressly forbidden to have anything to do with. I'm not saying that. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but all the men die. And there's just left the women, Ruth, Orpah, and the mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi says to them, I'm going back home. I have come to the land full, and made bare, and barren. All my family, they're all dead. Go back to your home, to your people, and you will find a husband, and you'll be able to raise up children, and you'll find your purpose in life. And one of them does indeed turn back. Orpah goes back, but Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to call your God my God. But obviously she saw something in the family that she liked. She saw God's influence in the family, and she wanted more. So they return as paupers, Ruth and Naomi, and they're destitute, and they find a lodging in the town. And it was part of God's law that whenever there was a harvest, that it's not like today where they try and gather up every single grain, every lock, stock, and barrel of the harvest. They weren't allowed to do that in Jewish circles because there were obviously paupers about that would run after the harvesters or the reapers, and they would gather up the little bits of grain and meal that fell to the ground. And that would be for them. And this is exactly what Ruth goes out to do. Now, it says that she happened to light on part of the field that belonged to Boaz. You need to know that there is no such thing as an accident whenever it comes to God organizing things. God organizes things for a reason. And Boaz comes up from Bethlehem, obviously to keep an eye on those workers, and he sees this new wee girl, as they say in Derry. Who's that wee girl over there? She looks a bit different to all the rest of the maids, and maybe different, slightly different coloured skins. He obviously knows she's a foreigner, and the young men say, this is Naomi's daughter-in-law. Her husband died. Her other sister-in-law went back to her people in the land of Moab, but she came on with her mother-in-law, and she's been very good to her mother-in-law. And so Boaz returns the favour, and he instructs her to stay in his fields. He instructs her to keep an eye on his servants, his girls, as they work in the fields, and stay with them. And he even instructs the young man to be good to her. And if you see her coming up behind you, drop an extra wee bit of seed on the ground so that she can pick it. And he says, you eat with my servants, and you drink with my servants and me. And the word of God records that Boaz, he didn't rule from afar, he sat with his servants and he ate with them, and he's even recorded as having reached her some parched corn. I don't know what that is. I take it that's maybe a dried corn in the cob. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I must actually look that out. So, after this, Naomi says, do you know what? I think Boaz has a notion of you. He's been so very good to you. I think he has a notion of you. And he's not going to stop until he gets this all sorted out. I tell you what you do. And she says to her daughter-in-law, at the end of the harvest, and it's quite funny, and I'm sure it would scare the life out of any of us, at the end of the harvest, what you do is you go in to the floor whenever the men have gone to sleep and lay at the feet of Boaz. And she does that. And Boaz wakes with a start because all of a sudden he has found something or someone lying at his feet. Anything could have happened. Maybe someone was in to kill him. I don't know. But I can just imagine waking him up and something strange at your feet. Maybe it's nothing new to people that have cats or dogs. But there you go. And he wakes with a start. And she says these words. She pleads with Boaz to cover her with his skirts. And that might seem a little bit odd, maybe well in thinking with this new transgender agenda that seems to be being pushed by so many parts of the world. But really what it meant was, just like the Lord wanted to spread his wings and gather all of Jerusalem to him, it was a plea for protection. Cover me with your skirts. Look after me. I am going to subject myself to you. And she stays there the whole night, and just before everybody else gets up, she leaves so as not to embarrass Boaz, and he says, look, I'm going to give you these 6 loaves so you don't go empty-handed back home. So both parties understand that there is, I'm trying to think of the right word, it'll come across very unromantically, a deal, there is a process that has been started. Boaz is interested in Ruth. Ruth has shown that she is interested in Boaz. But there is a problem. There is someone that is closer to Naomi than Boaz. He's called a kinsman. He's called a relation. But there's someone closer. And so Boaz goes to this man because the tradition in Old Testament times was that if all of the menfolk died, a close relation would redeem the land and the womenfolk that belonged to a family that was close to them, so that the womenfolk would be looked after, protected in their dotage, or in this case, marry. And he goes to this cousin or distant relation and says, I don't know if you noticed, but Naomi's back. And she's back with her daughter-in-law Ruth. And all of their husbands are dead. Would you like to redeem her land? Would you like to take possession of their possession? And the one guy says, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I could be doing with maybe a few 20, 30, 40, 50 acres more of land. I could certainly be doing with that. Boaz says, the only condition is you have to marry Ruth, and she's a Moabite. And he goes, there is no way in this wide world I'm going to have anything to do with the Moabites. I'm certainly not going to marry one. The word of God records that he says it like this, I will not mar my inheritance. Remembering that they were forbidden to have anything to do with the Moabites. So Boaz says, I'll do it. Because I have spoken with the wee girl. I have kept company with the wee girl. And she is not like the Moabites. She is not a pagan. She has been honorable in dealing with her mother-in-law. She has been honorable in all of her dealings with everybody that she's come into contact with. As Boaz even said, she's not chasing the young men, whether they're rich or poor. She is being a good girl. I'll redeem her to myself, because I'm not worried about my inheritance. I am secure in my inheritance. And so he marries her. And from the girl that left the land of Moab with less than nothing, a destitute widow, who came as a pauper to get the gleanings of the grain of the field, because she was honourable and because she behaved herself, God took her and brought her into the family as the wife of one of the wealthiest men in the land at that time. And she produced a son that her mother-in-law was able to be nurse to. And that son became the grandfather of David, the giant killer, King David. And I got to thinking, as I was reading through all of this, the Lord is indeed mentioned a few times in the book of Ruth. But there's no miracles. Well, not that you would see. There's no fire from heaven and there's no prophecies being fulfilled. Except for a very personal message to the person that will read and take time to read. But the whole story of Ruth is the story of a lost soul coming to Christ. And I hope you'll see it. She begins her life as a Moabite, a stranger from God, as do we all. And she goes on, she grows up, and most of her life she's forbidden to have anything to do with any of God's people. However, she meets and marries a Jewish boy. She has some exposure to the gospel. And she sees enough of it to pique her interest in God, even just to make her think, surely there's something more to this life than just working all week until Friday night and going out drinking and getting drunk and recovering on a Saturday and then preparing on Sunday to go out and do it all again. There's something more. And that is us. God is continually wooing us and calling us to himself. Her husband dies, the things that she put her faith on in the world abandon her, are gone from her, taken from her. Just in the same way that many of the things in this world will let you down, whether they be people, whether they be buildings. We look at, we're sitting in a church now that was 3 years ago, unbeknownst to us, was about to fall down. And it's not anymore, and Lord willing, and as long as there's no huge earthquakes or massive storms, it'll stand for another 50 or 60 years before anybody needs to look at it again. But things will let you down. But I want you to know the God of the Bible never will. And so began Ruth's pursuit of God, just like many people do, asking questions of God. And just like Ruth, people have many opportunities to go back to the world. In fact, the world will try and always tempt you back, even as a Christian. And just like Ruth, even though the road was tough, we pursued God. We didn't just stand around with our shoulders slumped and our heads down, waiting for God to save our souls. We had to go. And just like Ruth, she humbled herself, realizing that she couldn't save her own soul, save her own life, and she appealed to Boaz. We appeal to God. And like Ruth, I am sure you had people that pointed you in the direction of God, that gave you an example of what it was. And she had that in Elimelech, and more importantly, in Naomi. But when the rubber meets the road, and it always does, she made the right decision. We have to make our own choices, our own decisions. Boaz observed about Ruth. And I am sure you will understand yourself, people don't get saved so they can party.
People get saved because the partying has sickened them. People don't get saved so that they can have thrills and spills. They have realized that the thrills and spills are empty and temporary. People get saved because they understand deep down that they're destitute, spiritually and morally bankrupt, and need a God to save them. And just like Boaz did for Ruth and gave her little hints and helps along the way, so does God. I remember God answering a prayer in my life, even as I walked into a little church like this in Glengormley. God, if you're really up there and your man really belongs to you, have him speak in this subject during the service. And he did. God does those things. And when the time comes for you to make a choice, it's up to you. It's not, if it was up to me to see folks saved, I would make sure they were saved. I would do the work to make sure they were saved. But it's up to them. Now, there does come a time in the seeker's life that they have to put it all on the line. And we're not talking about walking across the handrail in the new bridge and hopefully not tumbling onto the concrete or maybe hundreds of feet below into the river. All we're talking about is ourselves on our own hands and knees praying and asking God in our own words to save our souls. And even though Christians can tell you, and Naomi told Ruth, it is still up to each one of us to go to God. And just even say the word, sort of brings nearly a lump to my throat. What did she say? Why have I found grace in your sight that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying I am a stranger? Why is that? It's something we may never understand, or we may never fully comprehend, but God loves us. Boaz loved Ruth. God loves us. And she crept into his presence humbly, just between her and Boaz, just like every lost soul. You may have a Christian there praying with them, and there may be a church of Christians praying behind you, but it's between you and God. It is a deal between you and God. If you humble yourself in the sight of God, he will lift you up. And that's exactly what happened. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Each and every saved soul has been lifted from the broad road that leads to destruction and set on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. But that road that leads to life also has great heights in it that can be attained in your Christian life. Something completely different to what you and I originally started out thinking. As a 12 or 13 year old that just discovered computers for the first time, an RML 38 ounce, a 380Z, that might mean nothing to any of you, but I was 13, 14 years old, and this was crazy. I remember writing my first program to print my name out 10 times, and then 100 times, and then 100 times with a counter beside me. I thought, I can literally make this thing do anything, it's great. I thought the highlight of my life would be to have something flying through the vacuum of space that would never age or grow old, and it would have my name on it for the endless ages of eternity. Little did I know in my foolishness that the only thing that would be worth having my name on for the endless ages of eternity is the Lamb's Book of Life, which Jesus did for me when I asked him to save my soul. And in the very same way, we read in the story of Boaz going out to redeem Ruth to himself, so God did for us 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. It was him that put the prophecy in place. It was him that sent the prophets to preach the words and to write them down for posterity. And it was him that came to live with us face to face, close personal relationship. What does the Bible say? The friend that that sticketh closer than a brother. It was him that did all that. And it was him that sacrificed. You know, in the same way that Boaz wasn't concerned about Ruth's past. He didn't care that she was a Moabite. He didn't care that she was a widow. He loved her. And he marred his inheritance in the same way that Jesus loves each one of us. And as the Bible says, his face was more marred than any man because of us. And in the endless ages of eternity, his body is marred for us with the marks of the cross in his hands and in his feet and the spear thrust in his side. But you know what? He loved us. And he did that for us. And just like Boaz had to go and make sure of any prior claims, God took care of that for us as well. He understood that the world doesn't love us. It doesn't really want us, because it will chew us up and spit us out just like a piece of gum whenever the flavor is gone. But the Lord does. Just like that wee girl Ruth, a pagan nobody from one of the most hated tribes of the people of Israel, she became somebody. I think she became the great grandmother of King David. And if God can take a wee girl like that who just aligned herself with him and do some great work with her and through her, you know what? God is no respecter of persons. He can do the same for you. And you might not be in the news, and you might not have your own YouTube channel or whatever it is that people think is wonderful, and you might not have a million followers on Twitter or X or whatever. But I guarantee every single tract you put in a soul's hand, every word that you put in a soul's ear about the necessity of salvation and the love of the God that provides it is worth gold. God doesn't mind who gets saved, by the way. Doesn't matter what their background or their history was, what happened to them or what they did. The Lord has been telling us for thousands of years, and even back then, in this example, he says, all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. And he'll keep you in the palm of his hand, and no man will be able to pluck you out forever. We have so many examples of God and his love for us, and the lengths that he would go and did go for us, to make sure that we get a free, forever, sure and secure salvation to any soul that will come to us. Why would he do that? Why would he send all of those people? Why would he inspire them? Why would he give all of this prophecy? And why would he fulfill it? Because he doesn't just love us, he so loves us. And that is a love that defies almost our comprehension, that the love of a husband for a wife, the love of parents for children, children for parents, they are only a shade of the love that God has for each living soul. And it brings him no joy when they refuse that love. And when they step off into a Christless eternity, in fact, God said, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So turn yourselves and live. He so loves us. Our souls are precious. They're immortal. They're eternal. And God has gone to such great lengths because of their value to him. And because there's nobody else that can do it. Have you ever been on the spot? Have you ever been the only man that could do a job or the only woman that could do a job? That is the way God is for you and I and everybody on the face of the world. And why would he do that? It's because he so loves us. And he still so loves us. And even if you're not flying right and straight and you haven't pulled your socks up or tightened your belt, you are loved by God. And he will give you every help that he can to straighten you up and point you in the right direction. All you got to do is say, Lord, why is it you love me so much that you would take time to do that? So you don't worry about the why, just know that I do. And all of these things I do for you. God bless you, folks. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your attention this morning. Does anybody have a hymn that they would like for us to finish with this morning?
268 is a new one.
I hope you know it.
What is it?
What did he do?
Is it a
do you know it?
Issue?
No. I tell you what, well, how's about we put that as a famous presidential speaker said, how's about we put a pin on that and circle back to that whenever I've had a chance to have a learn at it, would that work? 268, Mrs. Bradfield, if you would remember that. So, do you have one line that you would like for us to sing, or Dr. Shang, or even Frank, or Norman, or Mrs. Bradfield? We have a suggestion for a new one from Will. It can be the big book, it can be the wee book. We have them both here. Do you want to do it? Lang, have you got one?
327.
327. Anybody at higher ground, that's a good one. Anyone that didn't get their pick, come again this evening and we'll let them come again. 327. That is one called Higher Ground. It's a good old hymn, another one of the first ones that I learned when I was here. And let's stand as we sing. I'm pressing on the upward way. Thank you.
thank you all for your good time and attention this morning. And God bless you. Pray you safe travels home. And look forward to seeing you at the next appointed time. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and be dismissed with a word of heavenly Father. Thank you for this little bit of time you set aside from the world. I pray, Lord, even now that you would minister to us, whether we're just taking our first steps in the straight and the narrow road or we're well on our way. Please don't be done with us. Please continue to work on us. And I'm not going to say perfect us, and you know what I mean, Lord. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for the great lengths that you've gone to gather each one of us to you in eternity and here this morning. Please bless our time in your presence. And Lord, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Folks, God bless you. We are dismissed. Please do shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.